The Urban Institute has been looking at racial inclusion and diversity in cities across the country. Its Inclusive Recovery Report studies 274 cities, including several in the Valley, to see how racially diverse they are and how widespread economic success is. With me to talk about the study is Tina Stacey, a senior research associate at the Urban Institute. And Tina, I'd like to define our terms at the outset. What exactly do you mean when you talk about racial and economic inclusion?
Sure, absolutely. You know, we spent a lot of time thinking about what we mean by inclusion and actually talking to city leaders to try to work with them to come up with a definition of inclusion that really makes sense. So what we mean by inclusion is the degree to which all residents within a city, especially historically excluded populations, have the opportunity to both benefit from and contribute to economic prosperity. And so then we break that down into two different ways of thinking about inclusion. One is just economic inclusion, so how well people from different parts of the income distribution are able to contribute to and benefit from economic growth and prosperity. And then we also look at racial inclusion, which is how well people of color within a city are able to contribute to and benefit from prosperity.
What are some of the ways that residents of a particular city might notice some of the factors that you considered? Like, are there things that we would notice in our day-to-day lives that might influence and inform where a city might stand in those rankings?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's both inputs into this that I think people are well aware of, you know, whether or not your city government kind of looks like the demographics of your city is a good input into becoming more inclusive. But then also on outcomes, you know, some of the things that we look at on economic inclusion are how affordable is housing within the city? How many people are really rent burdened? Can lower income people afford to live in that city? That's probably one of the most obvious ones. But there's also a number of other factors that we look at. Spatial segregation. We look at both segregation by income and then also by race.
So I want to ask you about the data that you found for Phoenix. And the thing that struck me is that the city's overall inclusion rank was among the bottom in the country, 270 out of 274. What is going on in Phoenix that ranks it among the worst in the country here?
So like you said, Phoenix does rank as the fourth worst in the nation amongst our city sample. On economic inclusion, Phoenix is kind of, at least has been trending with the rest of the country, but it's seen increases in economic segregation, increases in the percent of residents who are rent burdened, so that affordability issue is still there, increases in the percent of family who are working poor, which means they worked full-time in the previous year but still can't get out of poverty. But they have seen reductions in high school dropout rates, which is good. So, but all of these kind of are following national trends where we see Phoenix kind of diverging and maybe getting a little worse than national trends even is on racial inclusion. So the city has seen an increase in racial diversity and slight reductions in racial segregation, but it still has racial segregation rates that are well above the national average. So the city is highly segregated spatially.
Now, you also looked at a few other cities in the Phoenix metro area, including Glendale and Peoria and Chandler and Mesa. How did those cities do as far as these various factors, maybe not relative to Phoenix because they're, you know, obviously much smaller cities, but among sort of like-sized cities?
Yeah, those other cities in Phoenix's region, they tended to fare a little better, but I want to give Phoenix some credit here. Like you said, we did tend to find that it was easier for smaller cities to be inclusive. We don't really have deep insights into why that might be, but that was a constant trend that we saw. So it seems like it's a little bit harder for bigger cities to be inclusive. So, you know, Phoenix was hit particularly hard by the Great Recession, but you know, on an optimistic note, we did find that periods of economic recovery are a great time of opportunity to improve on inclusion.
When you look at these inclusivity factors and some of the inputs that you talked about, how much of those are based on sort of city policy or state policy or county policy? And how much of it is just sort of the way that people interact with each other and sort of the natural course of things?
That's a great question, and that's a point I really wanted to make is that, you know, although we didn't specifically try to, you know, estimate how much of different groups within a city impact this, but we did do some case studies, and we heard over and over again that it really needs to be more than just the local government pushing this forward. It takes a wide variety of stakeholders. We heard cases where nonprofit groups and civil rights groups were really instrumental in helping a city improve on inclusion. And similarly, we heard a lot of private companies and private industry that helped push inclusion forward in their cities.
Well, and it seems like this might be one of those cases where a city government or a nonprofit or a private business can sort of set the stage for people to do something. They can perhaps make it easier for people to buy homes or make it easier for people to, you know, live in whatever part of town they want to live. But you can't really force people to do those things. So that's why I guess I was wondering the role that residents themselves play in sort of affecting some of these rankings.
So absolutely, city governments can do a lot to set the stage and remove barriers. But that's a good point that, you know, we really, and that also is echoed in our definition of inclusion, is that you can do as much as you want to provide opportunity for people, but you can't force change.
How quickly or not quickly can some of these changes happen, do you think?
Certainly, we see big improvements even within decades. We think it's very possible, and we're optimistic about really any city's ability to improve on inclusion, as long as they really, you know, make a strategic effort to make inclusion go hand in hand with economic growth goals and policies. And, you know, in many cases, we saw that efforts to move inclusion forward also helped to improve economic growth overall. And I think really framing it as such can help push both forward.
Tina Stacy is a senior research associate at the Urban Institute. Tina, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.